Our first reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
The book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said unto them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The story continues in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Our fourth reading comes from the Gospel of John, beginning in the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are on this night our Redeemer. Amen. So it is, of course, the days of gift giving. And my hope is that you've had an opportunity to gather with friends and family. Perhaps you've already opened some gifts along the way. You have other gifts ready to open. Maybe you have the gift that you just cannot wait for someone to open because you know it is exactly what they want, what they need, what will inspire them and make them sing. It is a season of giving and receiving, and one of my favorite questions to ask during this holiday time is, what is the most favorite gift you ever received? Now, perhaps asking that question has you conjuring in your mind a memory of childhood, something that you received that surprised you or was exactly what you asked for and was waiting for you on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. Perhaps for you, your favorite gift was something, an event, a relationship, or a thing that came to you and was given by a loved one who knows you so well that they knew exactly what to give you. My hope is that in your holiday gatherings, wherever they might be, that you might take the time to ask the question of everyone, what is that favorite gift that you received? Because by asking young and old, we grow relationships, and I believe that you will be blessed. Now, there's another question that I often like to ask as well, and that is, what is your least favorite gift that you received? Now, of course, you have to be careful because you've got to look around the room and see who's there. And you might, again, think about a childhood memory, a gift that you received from someone, a family member, a friend, a coworker, and you opened the gift in anticipation and excitement, and you looked at it and you said to yourself, this person doesn't get me at all and doesn't understand. Well, I hesitate to ask that question because it reminds me of when I was 13 years old. I turned 13 in November, and just a month later, it was time to celebrate Christmas. And I was a teenager with all of the self-doubt and the burden that 13-year-olds bring with them. And it was Christmas morning, and I unwrapped a package from my parents, and it was a set of handmade Barbie clothes. Now, I don't know how you have received gifts that you don't like real well, but I have to tell you, at 13, I had no filter, and I was not gracious at all. My sister was 4 years younger than I am. She also received the Barbie doll clothes. I looked at my parents, and I said, what were you thinking? I am 13 years old. And my mother said, well, you played with Barbies in the summer. I said, I was 12. I'm 13 years old. You know, I look back on that now and I am embarrassed. I talked with my mom at a family gathering just a couple days ago, and she said, I'd rather not talk about that Christmas morning. I'm embarrassed by the way I behaved, and especially now because I think these Barbie clothes were hand crocheted. Little tiny red suit with little white fur. I mean, I'd take it in a second right now. But back then, it was not the gift that I wanted. It was something that I would not receive with grace. As I've gotten older, just a little bit older, what I've come to realize is that it is good to give. But better than that, It is good to receive graciously, because when we receive with grace, we bless the person who gives, and we actually are shaped ourselves. Now, I know that receiving is not always that easy, because we're not really supposed to receive. Think about how we train up our children. We train them to be good givers, to be generous of heart and of hand. We look to those who are givers and who are famous and make the news by their generosity. And we say, those people are good because they give. And then we get this list of people that we perceive our takers, and we say, those people, no, they're not good. It's the givers that are good. Even in Acts 20, the Apostle Paul talks about, he says, it is better to give than to receive, and we take that to heart, and that becomes our motto, and we are the givers. Now, I think more than that, we don't like to receive because it kind of puts us in this uncomfortable position. Have you ever received an unexpected gift? I mean, you have no gift to give back. And you get this gift, and then you run through your house looking for something. You know, something you haven't opened. Maybe you've got one of those gift boxes in the basement with stuff in it. And you throw things around trying to find something that you can run and give this. I saw it just this week. My husband helped shovel out a neighbor's driveway, and she brought over these cookies. She's standing at the door with the cookies. I'm saying thank you. He's running through the house looking for, like, food to give her back. You know, comes back with this candy. Here, take this. It's hard for us to be out of balance, right? And so if we're going to receive, we have to be able to give as well. I mean, it has to be. We don't want to owe anyone. Everything has to be in balance. I mean, isn't it terrible, like, when you give the Instapot and someone gives you, like, the professional Weber charcoal grill with the smoker attached, or like when you give the scented candle and you get the handmade quilted queen bed quilt, you know, it's like there are winner gifts and there are loser gifts, and you do not want to be on the loser side. Receiving can be difficult, and sometimes receiving, we don't want to do it because we might be obligated. You know, you take something from someone, and then what are you going to owe them? Okay, spoiler alert. I'm going to talk The Last Jedi, and my little nerd's going to come out here. But okay, so The Last Jedi came out, and for those of you who watch Star Wars, just, you could stay with me. The rest of you, you could check your phones. But anyway, so The Last Jedi came out a couple weeks ago, and we've been waiting 2 years to figure out what's going to happen. And so Rey goes to this island to find Luke Skywalker. And so 2 years she's standing there on this island. And she, not only that, she had to climb up this ridiculous, like, set of stairs up this giant green hill in this ocean. I don't understand why these people don't live, like, on flat areas, but she's, like, way up on this mountain. And so one of the earliest scenes in The Last Jedi is she takes out Luke Skywalker's long-lost lightsaber and hands it to him. And for those of you who have seen the film, he doesn't even look at it. He takes it and whips it over his shoulder. I'm like, what? What kind of receiving is that? She climbed up this big hill and traveled through the galaxies. Well, we know that he didn't take it because it meant obligation. It meant he would have to do something with it, and he was refusing. Sometimes we refuse to receive because we perceive that in some way we're going to have to do something, and we don't want to do that. Here's the thing, is giving is right. And if we are the giver, we are strong. And receiving is weak. And if we are the receiver, we are not as good as the giver. And that is the position that we come into this Christmas season with, kind of sizing things up, keeping things in balance, making sure that if we receive, that we give as well, because that's kind of culturally how we have been raised. I remember years ago, I was doing graduate work in Toronto, and I was talking to this guy from Bahrain, and he was talking about how odd it was that he was walking down the street on a snowy day, and this guy slipped out, his feet slipped out from under him, he fell to the ground, and my friend ran over to help him, and the guy's like, no, I'm sorry, no, and he's like, no, I don't need anything, I'm sorry, dusting himself off, and this guy from Bahrain, Felix, he said, this is so odd, because if someone fell in Bahrain, they would lay there, they just, like, lay on the ground, and they would wait for a great crowd to gather, and then the elders would be able to speak and give advice on what should happen. But in our culture, we don't want to receive a handout. We don't want to receive anything, because if we do, we show that we are not independent or that we're not in control. And so here I am on this night to say, we've given a gift that all we have to do is receive it. And even simply to say that makes it sound a little suspicious. So check this out. Now, I know you've had some Christmassy scripture. You know, we read it through Luke, and you heard the whole birth narrative again of Jesus. But my favorite scripture comes from the Gospel of John, and it's in this first chapter. And I know it's not very Christmassy, but I love it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word spoke creation into being. That is Jesus from the very beginning. And if we read down through the scripture, we read that this amazing thing, it says Jesus, this is for verse 11, Jesus came to that which was his own. Jesus came to creation, humanity, but his own did not receive him. They would not receive him. Why? Well, we know why. Because it would mean that we might be obligated. It would mean that we are in a weaker position and that we are not in control, that we might even have to admit that there is some brokenness and struggle in us that we don't want the world to perceive, that we might be less than whole. So we're not going to receive him. But here is the truth. The very core message of John comes in the next verse, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Think about what it means to be a child of God. First of all, to be any child is to be beloved. No matter who we are or what we're doing, to be the child of God means that that love and that care for us goes beyond any temporal measure that we have. It spans through the ages. It begins in the very, very moment that time began in creation and moves through the centuries as God has pursued humanity in love and in care to this very day. That is what it means to be treated as a child of God, and all we have to do is receive the gift. Receive a gift that is light and life, according to that first chapter of John. That ancient gift of light from the very beginning, that ongoing gift, old and new, of life on and forever through Jesus. To receive that is to receive a new community, to receive the reign of God. It is to receive a life that moves from self-centeredness to self-otherness, to receive a life that goes from greed to generosity, from hostility to hospitality, to be changed. Because when we are receivers, we honor the giver, and we are shaped ourselves. What would happen if we became the best receivers that we could absolutely be? How would it change in the way we open our gifts and take the hand of another and receive compassion and care and love? It would be shaped by grace. And we would say yes to the ugly sweaters. And yes to the underwear, yes, received one more year. We would say yes to those gift cards to places we hate or we don't even know. Like, stop with the gift cards. We would say yes to the Barbie clothes. We would say yes to the things that make no sense, but in some way can shape our lives as we bless others. And we might even find ourselves saying yes and receiving gifts that do obligate us in grace and in love to change this world. And what would happen if we decided this night, crazy as it seems, to receive the gift of Jesus? And I'm not talking the baby Jesus. I'm talking the Jesus who from the beginning of creation has been moving and offering life and love. What would happen in our lives? We'd have to admit first that we have a need, right? That there might be buried within us a bit of regret or resentment or anger. A question of our own worthiness. A little bit of self-doubt hanging there. To say, Jesus, take all that, and I receive your love anyway. What would happen if we received that kind of love? What if we said yes to wholeness and healing? Yes to freedom from all of those doubts that we have. Yes to hope. Yes to love. Yes to us and yes to the world. Receiving that love so that we might understand that the love, the gift of God, goes to the most likable people and the least lovable in this world. And we're just among them. What would happen if we just lived with our hands open? Not to give, but simply to receive what the Spirit of God has for us. And I think this is what might happen. I said we will be shaped in amazing ways. We may be called to action in a way that might surprise us, but God will equip us. And if we live with our hands open, we will receive life in abundance. We will be surprised as we receive a grace that is without measure, that says yes and yes again to who we are. We will receive a light that goes beyond any darkness, because darkness cannot put it out. And we will receive hope. A hope that pushes out the fear, pushes out the darkness, a hope that can shape this world. Tonight, I just invite you to live with your hands open. Receive Jesus Christ, receive the gifts of this world, and be blessed. Let's pray. Lord, it's kind of crazy to think about receiving when there's so much need in this world. And so we humbly ask that you just start with our needs and fill us up. We're open. We open our hearts. We open our hands. We open our minds. And we ask you, Lord, to come in and receive us as we receive your love. And for this world, Lord, shape it. In places of darkness, push it back with your light. We give you thanks for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who praise you this day. And we give you thanks for our brothers and sisters in creation, whatever faith tradition or no faith tradition. And we ask, Lord, that in all places, your love might be received. Your light may be the light of the world. Your hope will push into places where people have no food, no shelter, no hope. No peace. And Lord, in our receiving, if we are changed, if we're called to say yes, we'll do it. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you. And remember his call upon our lives as we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.